You're listening to English as a Second Language podcast, English Cafe, number 93. This is English Cafe, episode 93. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. On this cafe, we're going to talk about privacy on the internet, a recent story about Google. We're also going to talk about another American city as part of our series on American cities. This one is going to be about Las Vegas, or as most people call it, simply Vegas. And as always, we'll answer some of your questions. Let's get started. Our first topic today is privacy on the internet. Privacy, you may guess, comes from the word private, when you are keeping something secret from someone else. Privacy on the internet has to do with, is related to, keeping your personal information secret so that other people do not see it, use it, or steal it. There was an article recently in a business magazine. This one is called Forbes, F-O-R-B-E-S. Forbes is a large business magazine owned by someone whose last name is Forbes, a very rich man. He actually ran for the presidency of the United States a few years ago, not successfully. Forbes has an article called, "Can a Search Engine Know Too Much?" A search engine is something like Google or Yahoo that you use to find things on the internet. One of the problems, of course, of the internet is that sometimes your personal information, we may say your personal data, D-A-T-A, your personal information is given to other people without your permission. Some people have been saying that Google, one of the largest search engines in the world, has been giving away some of its secret private information about the searches that you do online. There was a company who published a report saying that Google has compiled a lot of information about its users, but it does not do a very good job of protecting personal data. When we say they've compiled, C-O-M-P-I-L-E-D, we mean that they have put together, they have collected. To compile is to collect and organize. Users are the people who use their website. Some people say that they have compiled, Google has compiled a lot of information about people who use their website, but it doesn't do a very good job of protecting that information, that personal data. This has been a very harsh criticism of Google. Google has a very high reputation as being one of the best places to look for information on the internet. When we say it has been harsh harsh criticism, we mean that it has been serious criticism. It has been tough criticism. Google denies these allegations. They deny, they say it isn't true. Allegations are like accusations. When someone says that you did something wrong, it may not yet be proven, so we call it an allegation. For example, when someone is arrested, say a famous person, I don't know, Paris Hilton, for example, just an example. There are allegations that she did something wrong. Well, then that person goes to the judge, to the court, and they determine whether they are guilty or innocent, whether they did it or not. The case of Google is interesting because they have denied these allegations, saying that the report that criticizes them, that had harsh criticism of them, is inaccurate. It's wrong. And they have defended themselves. They say that they have not leaked any information about their users or given the information to other people. When we say you leak, L-E-A-K, information, we mean that information leaves your company, in this case, but not by design, not on purpose. It's an accident. So leaking information here would mean that people are able to find out your personal search information without Google giving them permission to do so. So it's been a very interesting case for Google trying to defend itself against these allegations, these accusations. Google says that they respect people's privacy. Notice the verb there, respect. That's a word we often use when we are talking about issues of privacy. Well, let's move on to talk about a very different topic, and that is one of our American cities, Las Vegas, Nevada. Las Vegas is located in the southern part of the state of Nevada. Nevada is basically a desert state. It's very hot in the summer, very dry, like Arizona and New Mexico and most of Utah. Those are states in the western part of the U.S. Nevada is very much a desert state. However, Nevada is a very popular place for people to take a vacation, mostly because in Nevada they have legalized gambling. Legalized means it is legal. The government says it's okay. Gambling is when you bet money on something, cards or horses or just about any other sort of game, and you try to win money by betting on a certain thing that you hope will win. Well, going back to Las Vegas is sometimes known as Sin, S-I-N, City. People refer to Vegas as Sin City, and that's because not only is gambling legal in Las Vegas, and there are many Americans who think gambling is wrong, gambling is a sin, it's something against God's law. Vegas also is called Sin City, somewhat unfairly, because in Nevada, in the state of Nevada, there is legalized prostitution. Prostitution is when men and women basically sell their bodies for some sort of sexual purpose. Well, prostitution is legal in the entire state of Nevada. However, it is not legal in Las Vegas. Many people think it is, but it isn't. It is legal in other parts of the state. It's the only state where prostitution is legal in the United States. Most people, however, go to Nevada, to Las Vegas, to gamble. The city of Las Vegas is huge, and it has been getting bigger every year for the last 20, 30 years. It has been growing. In fact, it's one of the fastest growing cities in the United States. Part of the reason is that it is, as I mentioned, in a desert. So there is lots of land around the city where you can keep building more and more houses. It's also warm in Las Vegas, especially in the winter time when it is cold in other parts of the country. So that is also a reason people have moved to Las Vegas. One of the most famous parts of Las Vegas is called the Strip, S-T-R-I-P. A strip is an area, usually along a certain street. The Las Vegas Strip is about a four-mile area of one street in Las Vegas called Las Vegas Boulevard. And on this street, you can find most of the famous hotels. Most of the hotels have a casino, C-A-S-I-N-O. A casino is a large place where you can gamble. Now, it doesn't have to be a hotel. Some casinos are just places to gamble. But most of the casinos in Las Vegas are combined with a large hotel. Las Vegas is considered by many people to be a very glamorous city. When we say something is glamorous, G-L-A-M-O-R-O-U-S, we mean that it is considered very beautiful or very rich. Famous people like to go there. That's glamorous. In fact, I don't think Las Vegas is a very beautiful city, personally. I haven't been there in about 15, 16 years, back in the early 1990s. If you ever go to Las Vegas, the first thing you will notice is all the lights and all of the activity. For me, Las Vegas is very tiring. It makes me tired because there's so much action. There's so many lights. It's a little bit too much for me. Many people think, however, that it is glamorous. Many of the hotels have other things for you to do in addition to gambling. For example, there are water fountains at some of the hotels, such as the Bellagio. There are famous shows in Las Vegas, famous singers, circus people, other bands and performers, comedians. All of them have shows in Las Vegas, so you can go and see them perform. If you are a Star Trek fan, someone who likes the television series Star Trek and the movies, I am a Star Trek fan. There is something called the Star Trek Experience at the Las Vegas Hilton Hotel, and you can go and look at what is a recreation of the Star Trek ship. You can sit in the chair where the captain of the USS Enterprise, the name of the ship on the Star Trek series. The other thing Las Vegas is famous for is weddings. it's very easy to get married in Las Vegas. And so many people who don't want to plan a big wedding will fly to Las Vegas and get married. They get married in places called wedding chapels, C-H-A-P-E-L. A chapel is normally a small church, but these aren't really churches. These are places for people to get married. In fact, I had some coffee recently with a couple of our listeners who were visiting Los Angeles. They were from Germany. They flew to Las Vegas and got married. And then they drove to Los Angeles to see me, but mostly because they were driving up to Northern California on their vacation. A vacation after you get married is called a honeymoon. So Jan and Karen, congratulations on getting married in Las Vegas. Now let's answer a few of your questions. Our first question comes from Gustavo, G-U-S-T-A-V-O, in Uruguay, in South America. Gustavo wants to know the meaning of an expression he heard, red tape. For example, the veterans are facing red tape. Red tape means many regulations or rules from usually a large organization or the government. Usually we say that government offices have too much red tape, meaning there are too many forms to fill out, too many steps you have to take in order to get what you want, too many rules and regulations. All of this is part of the idea of red tape. The sentence, veterans are facing red tape, means that veterans, people who were soldiers who fought in the army or in a war, are having to deal with lots of red tape. You'll also hear the word bureaucracy used when people talk about red tape. They may say, there's too much red tape and bureaucracy. Bureaucracy refers to the people who work for the government, but more generally, the rules and regulations, all the things you have to do if you try to do something or get something from the government. For example, if you have tried to travel to the United States, you know that it is much more difficult now than it was 10 years ago. There's a lot more red tape. Our next question comes from Michael in Germany. Michael wants to know the meaning of an expression he read when reading about a sports team, to catch lightning in a bottle. Lightning, L-I-G-H-T-N-I-N-G, is an electrical charge that you see when there are many clouds and it is stormy outside. The weather is bad. It's going to rain. You will often see light in the sky, even if it's dark. And it goes very quickly. You see it for only a second or so. Well, that's called lightning. Usually when there's lightning, you hear a sound. The sound is called thunder, T-H-U-N-D-E-R. People will sometimes talk about thunder and lightning, the noise and the flash of light that you see during a storm. The expression to catch lightning in a bottle means to do something that is very, very difficult. To succeed at something that is extremely difficult. To catch something means to capture it, to get it. So, of course, it would be impossible to catch lightning from the sky and put it into a bottle, a container. So the expression means to do something very, very difficult. It is often used with sports teams when they win against a very difficult team or a very tough opponent, someone they are playing who is very good. If they win, that would be like catching lightning in a bottle. Our final question comes from Junji, J-U-N-J-I, in Japan. He wants to know how to pronounce words that, or rather, numbers that have a TH after them, such as the number 6, or 100, or 1,000. Well, when these numbers have a TH after them, they are what we call ordinal numbers. First, second, third, fourth. These are all ordinal numbers. The examples that he wants me to pronounce are 6, which would be pronounced 6th, 100, which would be 100th, and 1,000, which would be 1,000th. It's somewhat difficult because you have to add the TH sound after the final consonant of the number. Also remember that the numbers 1, 2, and 3, and then 21, 22, 23, and so forth, use a different form for ordinal numbers. It's not a TH. For the number 1, it's first. For the number 2, it's second. And for the number 3, it's third. So you would say 21st, 22nd, 23rd. And then you can start adding the TH, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, and so forth. If you have a question, you can email us at ESLPOD@ESLPOD.com. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time on The English Cafe. English as a Second Language podcast is written and produced by Dr. Lucy Say, hosted by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2007.